Welcome to the latest Dolman Law Group podcast. I'm Matthew Dolman, principal owner of the Dolman Law Group, here with Dr. Ian Rainey of Rainey Chiropractic and Injury Center. Say hello, Ian.
Hello, everyone.
Well, today we're going to discuss common injuries from automobile accidents that are related to the back and neck, and more specifically, neuropathy and radiculopathy. Kind of take the viewers and listeners through what radiculopathy and neuropathy are.
So radiculopathy is going to be what we would call, you know, pathology of the nerves that's going to radiate specifically from the spine. So if you've got pain due to an injury in the spinal cord, that pain may radiate down to the extremities. So that could go into your arms, to your legs, to your feet, to your toes. And when we start to see that, you know, that's an indicator that there's something serious going on and it needs to be evaluated.
So rather than a back injury or neck injury that's in a specific area, You're feeling it actually correlate to numbness and tingling in your hands or your feet. What are those specifically related to?
They're going to be related to injuries to the nerves, either specifically in the spinal cord or maybe compression of the nerves anywhere along the way due to maybe muscular spasms or, you know, injuries from trauma during the automobile accident, from the airbag or from the seatbelt or something like that.
When does it rise to being very serious, the nature that you have to see somebody?
Say that again?
When does the injury arise to the point where it's so serious that you need to see somebody?
Oh, now if we see somebody who's having like bladder incontinence or, you know, they're unable to, you know, to hold their bowels, then we know that's a medical emergency. You've got to see a medical doctor, a surgeon.
That's caught equina, right?
Caught equina, correct. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and if I see somebody who has motor weakness or maybe they don't feel certain areas of the skin, we've got these things called dermatomes, and we're looking at different areas of the skin. And if the person has numbness or tingling in those regions, we know that there is there can be a correlation between certain spinal segments. So there could be an injury along the spinal cord that we need to evaluate.
So in other words, you have corresponding areas that will. I better state it corresponds with the location of your injury. So, For instance, if you have a neck injury at C1, 2 in your spinal column, It's going to relate to specific digits in your fingers.
Correct. Yeah. So when we're doing certain tests, we may do orthopedic or neurological testing that will indicate that there is an injury that could be, due to a bulging disc or a herniation or a protrusion along one segment of the cervical spine or the lumbar spine.
Okay. So what could be done to alleviate it?
What we like to do is we like to do conservative therapy first.
Okay.
So, first of all, you may want to, the doctor may prescribe you some anti-inflammatory medication that may take down the swelling, which may take the pressure off of the nerves. Or we may do, ice obviously is, a great thing to do to reduce swelling. And then we start to look at things like massage or chiropractic, where you can actually align the segments and take the pressure off the nerve.
When is the injury, in terms of a nerve injury, so serious you have to see a surgeon? When is it the point where you can't do anything further with conservative care?
Well, if I've given the patient a couple of treatments and I don't see improvement, after 4 or 5 visits, maybe the 6 at the most, if the patient is not getting better, then I definitely am going to refer them to a surgeon or an orthopedic specialist or somebody who is going to be able to do a little bit further investigation and be able to treat that injury.
So is that just for localized pain, or is that when there's neuropathy or radiculopathy?
Particularly when there's neuropathy. And if there's localized pain, it's kind of hard to describe a particular situation. But when you see it after you've had enough experience, you look at something, you go, all right, this is not getting better. This is something that I'm not comfortable with, and I know that this is something that a surgeon would have to see
Okay.
But when I see a patient who comes in, I expect to see results pretty quickly. And if that's not happening, then I know that I've got a team of professionals that I work with, and I know that they're going to do a better job. So that's when I refer out.
So muscular injuries, musculoligamentous injuries respond better to conservative care.
Absolutely.
Where disc injuries could, it depends. It's pretty tricky.
Yeah. If somebody has a swollen disc, it kind of depends on the complexity of the condition. But if the disc is just swollen and inflamed, the patient may have some mild symptoms. They may have a little bit of muscle weakness. But if that goes on for very long, I don't want that pressure to be on the nerve for too long because that can cause permanent damage. So, you know, if the patients start, you know, continue to improve, then we know that we're making progress and we should be able to get that patient back to, you know, pre-injury status.
I know physicians like yourself, you treat symptomatology, mm-hmm. not pathology. What does the MRI do for you? And how important is the MRI result when I know, for instance, I have 3 or 4 blown discs in my neck. Mm-hmm. I've had 2 auto accidents and they're asymptomatic. I don't feel it every day. In fact, mm-hmm. generally, I never have an issue with my neck. Mm-hmm. What is the importance of the MRI? And how far does that go? And when do you need to correlate that with the actual symptoms?
The MRI is extremely helpful because, you know, I could have a patient who, they have some symptoms, but when we see that there is an issue in their cervical spine, you know, say that they've got, a protrusion into the spinal canal, then we know that there is pressure on the spinal cord, and that does verify the symptoms that we're finding. So when I see that, I also know where the issue is, and that's also going to give me good ammunition to know exactly where to adjust, what segments to focus on when we're providing ice, electrical stimulation, and then when we're actually doing the adjustment. Because if the person is, you know, standing there, you know, they get the MRI or they get an X-ray done, you're not going to see a bulging disc or a protrusion on an X-ray, but on that MRI, you're going to see all the soft tissue, the damage that's been done, and you can also see, you know, the structure of the spine. So if they've got like a military neck, we call it, you know, a straight neck, we know that there's going to be more protrusion of that bulging disc back into the spinal canal. But if we can start to restore that curve,
lordosis.
It'll take a little pressure off of the disc and allow it to heal a little bit faster.
I understand, like in particular the spine injury cases, your job is also to document the case for an attorney.
Yes.
Because there's a personal injury perspective to the case. Mm-hmm. When you're documenting a case, how do you determine what's the acute versus what's pre-existing? So acute as in related to the actual trauma, mm-hmm. versus what may be pre-existing and been latent for years and could have been laying dormant, or may have been symptomatic beforehand but is not actually acutely related to the accident. That's so adjusters make a big deal about this. I don't mean to cut you off, but they'll often say, Matt, you know, those injuries were there for years. It's very obvious it was degenerative disc disease. And let's get into that. I mean, mm-hmm. what is degenerative disc disease? What's the importance of acute versus pre-existing, and how do we show it?
Okay. So first of all, looking at the patient and determining whether or not there was a pre-existing condition, I want to make sure that I get a very thorough history from the patient. You know, I want to make sure that I've got, you know, all the information, you know, if there were previous injuries or auto accidents, I want to make sure that I'm aware of that. But then also, that's why we utilize imaging. The radiologist is able to tell, you know, whether or not there was a pre-existing injury or whether or not that was more of an acute condition. And then also when we're looking at, you know, disc degeneration, you know, you can kind of, there's a lot of testing that I'll do, and you can kind of tell whether or not the patient has had more of a, you know, a pre-existing issue. But that information is just really good to have. It's good for the case. It's good, important for the attorney. And then I just like to make sure that we have all that
available. So you mentioned testing. What kind of testing can be done to determine acute versus pre-existing?
So if, let's see, if a patient comes in and they have, you know, say that they've had I guess a good example would be one patient who had on the MRI, we could tell that he had basically compression in the lumbar spine.
Okay.
And he was also in a previous accident. And so you kind of take a little bit of the history plus also the imaging and then, I guess a little bit of communication with the patient to kind of determine that. If the patient said, I never had this pain before, you know, this just happened right after the car accident, and then you do some orthopedic testing and you find out that, the patient is unable to hold his legs up without, you know, recreating low back pain, then we know, hey, this is definitely an acute condition here.
I know that your job is to avoid surgery at all costs. Mm-hmm. When does it get to the point where surgery is necessary? What's the role of injection therapy? And when has a client basically, or I should say patient, in your their clients for me, mm-hmm. when have they exhausted all forms of conservative care and injection therapy where there is no alleviation of the pain and we need to proceed?
Typically, if I'm working with someone and they're continuing to get better and better and better, I do want to work with, you know, other individuals to make sure that they're getting the best possible treatment available. So, you know, maybe, you know, my extent of what treatment I can provide is, you know, limited here. But say that I have a person who has a very bad shoulder injury and I'm getting some improvement, but I know to myself, all right, I don't have prescriptive rights. So I want to get the inflammation reduced so that we can get this shoulder better. You know, then I may refer to the orthopedist or someone else who can do injections and take that inflammation down. Next thing you know, now I can get that shoulder to move so much better. And we can get in there and break up the scar tissue that's forming, break up the adhesions, and restore full mobility. And that may be a, you know, a good example of someplace where I would be limited on my own. And that's nice to have those other resources available. If we reached a point where the patient is not getting better, you know, after, you know, a week or two, if the patient has completely stabilized, then I know that that, you know, that's going to be no longer a situation for me to treat that patient. And that's where I need to refer out to another specialist.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. And there's a term in our industry called maximum medical improvement, MMI.
Yes.
What does that mean?
So that means basically that the patient has reached the point that we feel, you know, we feel that they are, they've reached their maximum medical improvement. So the patient is about as good as we feel we can get them, you know, or where I feel like I can get that patient. So
is that specific to the, to what you do for, is there chiropractic MMI and then maybe there's MMI for, a physiatrist or MMI for a spine surgeon? Is it, is it just specific to your industry or is it specific to, just the patient as a whole, they can never get any more, any better than they are now?
That would be specific to an industry. So if I feel that I, you know, I've reached the point where I can't get the patient any better, then it's time for another specialist to, you know, to take a look at that. Because, you know, the way that I was trained is completely different than a medical doctor was trained. I don't want to say completely different, but, you know, we have different approaches. They're going to be, you know, like a medical doctor or an emergency room physician is going to be trained a little bit differently than a chiropractor.
Sure.
So they may have some other tools in their toolbox that may be able to help where I can't, or maybe, you know, they may be great at treating somebody who's had cuts and, you know, abrasions and things like that. Whereas I can treat, you know, musculoskeletal issues very well.
Okay. What are some other common injuries you see?
I see a lot of sprains, strains of the neck, the back, a lot of shoulder injuries, you know, like right now, you know, I've got one patient who the right shoulder is damaged because when they got into the car accident, the, you know, the strap on the shoulder belt came across and covered half the body, but not the other half. And then the other person who was in the car, the other shoulder is damaged. So you've got a lot of shoulder injuries. A lot of patients who get broken ribs, a lot of patients who just have strains of the, you know, the muscles, the intercostal muscles that feel like they've broken ribs, but it just hurts every time they laugh or breathe or try to move. Yeah, those are pretty bad. And but it's good to tell them, you know what, you're going to get better, and that, you know, that at least provides some comfort to them knowing that they're going to get better. But so other injuries, you know, definitely a lot of. A lot of, you know, disc injuries, and then there's, you know, of course, the radiculopathy. We get some people that have numbness and tingling.
Sure.
Things like that.
Is there a difference between radiculopathy and neuropathy? Or?
Yeah. Well, radiculopathy, I would say, is more radiating pain. So say if I told you you had lumbar radiculopathy, that means you've got pain radiating down the nerves from the lumbar spine into the extremities, so into the feet or maybe into the legs. But neuropathy could just be nerve pain. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that can cause neuropathy. You know, it may not be compression of the spinal cord. It could be, you know, it could be just, you know, nerve damage, or maybe, you know, maybe you, for one example, you got hit by the seatbelt and that caused some damage to the nerves, you know, around the pelvis, and that can cause some weird symptoms.
So they're mutually exclusive. You could have both.
Correct. Yeah.
Or you could have one or the other.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Anything else you want to cover in terms of back and neck injuries you commonly see at your practice?
Let's see. Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Anything that creates when you look at your patients, what's your biggest hang-ups in terms of what can a person do to ruin their case or ruin their medical treatment?
Oh boy, I could give you a good example.
Please do.
I have one patient who said, I have to exercise. I have to exercise. You don't understand. If I don't exercise, I'm gonna drink alcohol. And I said, no, that's not good. But the person like that, you know, when I say you cannot exercise if you want to get better, you know, that's a challenge because, you know, the doctor says what needs to be done for the person to get better, but the person feels like they want to go do exercise or do things. It's one of the hardest things really is telling people, all right, this is a period in time where you need to let your body heal. Mm-hmm. And that way you can enjoy your life later. So that's one of the challenges. So I don't want people going out there and exercising or, you know, or posting you know, certain things that they shouldn't be.
Oh, yeah, social media just kills cases.
Yeah, yeah.
So an era of instant gratification, mm-hmm. and it's very tough for individuals to stay patient and see the case through.
Yeah.
Or see the treatment through. Okay. Yeah.
And I had one patient who actually went running in a boot. He had to run. He was that adamant about running, but it was because he had a little foot surgery unrelated to the accident. But you know, it's
not smart though.
No,
absolutely not. All right, well, I think we covered everything related to neck and back injuries, at least what we could do from a non-academic perspective without boring the listeners.
Yeah,
I appreciate your time today, Dr. Rainey.
Thank you for having me.
And that's Ian Rainey from Rainey Chiropractic. How do individuals get a hold of you?
They can call the office. Phone number 727-314-2663, or you can look us up on the web, raineychiropractic.com.
Thanks again.
All right.
I appreciate it. This concludes the Dolman Law Group podcast.
Thank you.